Podcast Network Asia.
Welcome to Sage Conversations, where we believe that life and even the challenges that come with it is the greatest teacher there is. I'm Mara, and in this space, we try to uncover the wisdom behind these experiences, hopeful that these will serve as inspiration for us to achieve breakthroughs and elevate our lives.
Anyway, again, recognizing what you're really capable of in times of waiting. And it really all boils down to the self also.
Absolutely.
Like that we actually have more power than we think, more reign over things as well.
Yeah. It's that duality of understanding what you as an individual are capable of, but at the same time, still flowing with the collective. It's very nuanced. That's why it's hard to explain it.
Yeah.
Because it differs from person to person.
It really does.
Plus the collective, you know, like it equals something different. Like the simplest way I can explain it is, if and when you get to know yourself in this journey, you'll understand your personal timing and your personal season and how it changes, how it's nuanced. Like for me, I haven't felt Mercury retrograde in years. This year, it hit hard, like really hard. But that's my timing. Now is my time to shift in a big way again.
Mm.
So I'm following that. It's collective because astrology is collective, but it's also personal because I think there's some people who are not affected by this. They're fine. But maybe next time or next year, it'll be their turn. Because when you think about it as a collective, you know, as a collective being that also lives as an individual, we can't all do everything at the same time.
That's crazy. That's some dystopian shiz over there, right?
Yeah. I think that's why we are universally designed to shift differently, but also at the same time. So like if we talk about an individual, let's talk about like a specific group of individuals, let's say. They will change this year and then another group will change next year. So that if the first group needs support, the second group is there. If the second group needs support, the first group is there.
Yeah.
That's why it's not all at the same time. And back to the personal seasons things, like I relate this to selling. It's like selling products or services. If we sell everything at the same time, like everyone is selling at the same time, it'll be too much for the consumer.
Yeah, that's saturation.
But let's say
market saturation. Yeah.
But let's say that for me, my time to sell is in the fourth quarter, but you are slowing down in the fourth quarter. And then for the next year, for the first quarter, I'm going to slow down because I need to rest and recover. And you have rested and recovered. So you sell in the first quarter of the next year.
It makes sense. Yeah.
It's that energy of everyone has space. There's space for everyone because the timing of how collective works and how it affects us individually. Getting to know your personal timing is powerful because you understand when you're supposed to push forward and when you're supposed to pause and rest. I don't believe in pulling back, by the way.
I was going to say.
Just pause and then let someone move forward. And then alternate.
Yeah. You know, you can't always, you know how in relays, you know, you can't be the only one running. Like at one point, you have to pass the baton. You can't be the only one giving all the time. And by honoring your personal seasons, you also get to honor the personal seasons of other people. I was actually going to bring up that point, you know, how in any kind of sports game, right? Mm-hmm. There are people on the bench and there are people actually playing. If you put your star players all the time on court, they're going to get tired at one point.
Yep.
And then you have to bring in the ones on the bench because they can't be bench warmers. These people on the bench also have to shine, also have to thrive and declare their presence, show off their skills on court. And if we always go with the collective, it's going to turn into a competition within the collective. Like, we're all just trying to, and that's dangerous territory if we're not mindful enough. It just becomes this whole competition against each other when we're supposed to be cooperating with each other. Right? Like, in a business perspective also, if you see everyone else as competition, that's going to add so much pressure on your back and everybody else involved. But if you acknowledge that, oh, you know, during this time, it's this business that usually thrives and I don't, that's fine because my time will come. Maybe during this time, I have to rebrand, re-strategize. You know, not because I want to be better than the other person, but because I know I'm in that space where maybe what I'm putting out there is no longer who I am right now. All right. Thank you for bringing up that point. It's that. Saluhan, yon. Like in Tagalog, right? Saluhan, saluhan tayo. Saluhan tayo, right? And that's why, like, in a group of friends, maybe you will notice that also, that you may not be going through the same things. Like, there's always that person in the group who seems to be doing really well, or someone who's, like, pretty stable. And then and that person is stable not to pressure you to also do the same thing, but remind you that, hey, you have someone constant, you have someone grounded in your life. So if you need help with that, then you can come to me. And at one point, the roles may reverse. You get to be that rock. You know, you get to be that grounding force, that grounded energy in that person's life. It's really a give and take. And that's a nice way to look at collective energy also. Yeah. Because even in the context of manifesting, right?
Yes.
How do you see this? Like, if everyone's manifesting all at the same time, we're all just going to be moving and grinding and hustling.
Yeah, yeah. And like, for a more business context, like, if everyone is selling and no one is buying, no one's going to earn any money. The money's not going to move because everyone is selling. Someone has to buy, someone has to sell. And it has to alternate, like literally the law of supply and demand. It can't always be demand and it can't always be supply. It's both. And the key to understanding your timing is knowing yourself. It's not always understanding the collective. For me, it's much powerful if you understand your timing, because then you can observe when you're resting and realize, oh, that's the collective. Okay, so when this is happening to them, this is what I
can do. Like, what you're, what, this is my role.
This is hard to view yourself.
This is my role right now. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And it's hard to take a look at yourself. It's easy. Like, I know as people who are in spirituality, we know this. It's so easy to talk to our clients and to give them tips and advice and things to do. But there are times when it when it comes to ourselves, it's so hard. So sometimes taking a look at the collective and what's happening outside of you, you realize, oh, when this is happening outside, it means inside, this is what's matching. So let's use astrology because that's what we use. Like, let's say you know that if the moon is in this sign, sometimes you feel down or you're not in the mood. So when you see that, yes, collectively people are excited about this moon and in this sign, but for me, I need to just take time for myself. So sometimes having cues from outside is also helpful, but you know those cues from the outside because you know it from the inside. It's that, again, that duality and that multifacetedness of being an individual in a collective and being in a collective as an individual.
There. And segue to my question, since you mentioned one of the things that we can do, this whole, you know, stepping back from the collective so you can look at yourself. Let's ground this conversation. Like, how can I do that on a practical level? do I chart it? Do I feel like, yeah, you can. Maybe you can chart it. Yeah. But for you, what are the practical ways we can look into our personal energies amidst the collective?
So for me, I don't chart it daily because, again, that small of a nuance doesn't work for me. I tried, doesn't work. So for me, I look at it in longer times. Like, it could be per quarter or it could be monthly for you, depending on what works. So for me, there are certain emotional cues. That's where I take it. So let's say that I easily get annoyed by everyone. And I mean everyone. And no one is doing anything. That means there's something going on inside me. I wouldn't use the word there's something wrong with me, but there's something off. So when I notice that, I realize, okay, take a step back before you start screaming at someone that doesn't need to be screamed at. Like, no one deserves to be screamed at. But before you hurt someone, take a pause and pull back. Because, you know, like, as much as people talk negatively about anger, anger is your biggest cue.
Mm.
Anger is not the primary emotion. Anger is used to hide something. What is behind that anger? So this does take time to know, but that's very, like, people understand what anger feels like. So you can start from there and start thinking, what is behind that anger? And then from behind that, what caused that? Because anger is a symptom. It's not the cause. There's something behind it. So for me, it's emotional cues. Another one would be feeling sad or feeling melancholic for no reason. As far as I know,
it's
no reason.
Me too.
So like as people who menstruate, check your chart. Sometimes it's just that. If it's not that, look at something else. Obviously, if you are someone who doesn't menstruate, take a look at the moon cycle, like the actual moon cycle. Sometimes that also has an effect. If it's not that, look inside. Because admittedly, sometimes collective energy does affect you, even if it's not you. So you have to figure out, is it really you?
Yes.
Or is
yes.
it outside?
Like, are you absorbing it or not?
From then, do what works for you. Like, if you have specific rituals, if you need to talk to someone, if you need to go to therapy, go there. And journaling is my favorite thing, because you can, if you look back, oh, this month, last year, I was like this, but this month, it's different, but also the same. It's taking notes, honestly.
Yeah, notes, like writing it down. It doesn't even have to be in a notebook, just a notepad or something. Your phone, just that. So for you, it's emotional cues. That also works for me. Another thing that works for me is also physical cues. And this is what I noticed. I wake up, like during the summer, like the summer here, I always wake up with a heavy weight on my back. It's always that. And that's when I know that, okay, I don't think I'm addressing myself too much. Maybe, you know, I'm riding along with the summer energies, you know, with people just being all out during the summer. And then it's during the latter part of the year that my sleep is actually better, or I wake up without back pains whatsoever. So yeah, physical cues also help a lot. Where else do I take my cues? Ah, my legs. Like during the summer, my hips and my legs feel a bit more loose compared to the winter. So I'm like, okay. And how I see that is, okay, during the summer, I feel a heavy weight on my back, but my lower body feels loose. So, you know, there's a bit of like a nuance there, because my legs are telling me that, oh yeah, you can actually move, you know, you can actually keep going. But putting the whole upper back thing is like, yes, you can keep running, but you don't have to carry out all your plans just so you'd be more at ease. You know, letting go of one plan, forgoing it, or putting it on the shelf for a while, it's fine. It doesn't make you less productive. And then when I'm in that season, I'm like, okay, I get it now. And then next thing you know, like when you're starting to get used to things, it's suddenly like autumn autumn season for you. But something like, oh, what is this? What is this? But yeah, again, it's really, it's tracking, it's being observant about yourself. I mean, if you can be so observant about other people, why not also be just as observant, if not more, towards yourself, right? I mean, yeah, you know, we're such a, I mean, sad but true, but we are a scrutinizing society, right? And it's just so easy to see how things go. So make it work for you. Turn your observational skills into something more productive also, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Let it benefit you as well, and you get to honor yourself.
And with observing yourself, the reason, at least from my observation, the reason we are so bad at taking a look at ourselves is because we don't take a look at ourselves. We judge ourselves the hardest. Mm. Like, I understand it's hard to take out.
Do what you need to do. Yeah.
Our culture, but it can be taken out. Look at yourself outside of you. Treat yourself like, I know some people have a hard time doing this. So my best example is, treat yourself like your best friend. If you don't have a best friend, treat yourself like your favorite person, or treat yourself like a client and look at it from the outside without judgment. Because like, if you can tell your best friend, even if they did the worst thing ever, that you still love them, you can do that to yourself. And then you get to learn how to do that to yourself, for yourself, without observing as if you're a different person. It does take practice. I also want to add to the cues, because aside from emotional, I also have mental cues. If I start overthinking, not just overthinking, my counselor calls it catastrophizing, you make things a lot worse. Like, for example, you drop your phone. You think, oh no, I dropped my phone. That's normal. But if you start going, oh no, what if my life is ruined because I dropped my phone? What if someone's dying because I dropped my phone? If it gets that bad, oh, I need to go to my counselor ASAP. So obviously it doesn't go from 0 to 100 quickly. Before it gets to that 100, do what you need to do. Do what you need to do. It will be a mix also of physical, mental, and emotional, but there will be stronger cues for me. It's stronger emotionally and mentally. If I ignore it so bad, it gets physical. That's when I know I've went beyond my limit.
Yeah.
That's my cue.
Oh, yeah. So it's, again, also very, very different. Being human is very complex, you know, and maybe we're just trying to, I know there's this whole thing about, you know, life, live simply and all of that, but it goes, I guess it's also redefining what simplicity means for you. You know, simplicity is just being able to navigate through all these energies in a way that works for you. I think that is what simplicity is. Simplicity is accepting that, yes, there are days that I may be different from others, and that's fine. I will live the way I need to and want to live. So it's a strange thing, this energy, this whole, you know, adapting, navigating. But well, we also have to remind ourselves to, you know, find the fun in it. You know how when you're excited to meet a new person, right? I mean, not for all introverts, of course. But no, I mean, like, let's say you genuinely want to meet someone. You're about to meet someone new. Let's say you're about to meet a person that you admire, that you've admired for so long. Like, imagine viewing yourself as that. Like, meeting yourself. Like, the person you admire. Yeah. And I like that point that you brought up, that we get to be, to also be more compassionate towards ourselves when we honor our personal seasons, when we honor our own pace, you know, because we're not competing for anything. Like, there's no grand prize at the end of all of this. As morbid as it sounds, like, we all die.
Yeah, and to be honest, you are the grand prize.
I love that.
You being alive and you being you,
that is
you
the are prize. The grand prize. Yep.
Yeah, so stop looking for a better prize, because you yourself, you are the prize. You got to realize that. That's also a part of honoring. Because if you know you're the grand prize, you'll just do what you enjoy. you know, and
yeah, if you see yourself as the grand prize, you get to see your value and you get to see that the things you do for yourself are worth it, right? Regardless of what season you were in, what phase in your life you were in, when you see yourself as someone that you truly, truly value, no matter the season, you will always find a reason to shine. You know, even in the darkest of days, there's still that little spark in you. No one can ever take that away.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of falling in love with every aspect of who you are. Light, the shadow, the in between. That is the essence of loving yourself. Is everything. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Loving you and staying in that energy will be very helpful in understanding your seasons.
Yeah.
Because if you love you love someone, you're very understanding. You're very compassionate. So you gotta apply that to yourself. And it's so ironic that the hardest person to love is yourself. It's not someone else. But the moment you do, the moment you respect, you honor, you acknowledge, you accept yourself, everything clicks. Yeah. Everything flows. Because you give yourself the kindness of, oh, I don't want to do this even if everyone else is doing it. You're not judging yourself. You're being kind. Oh, it's okay. You can do this in another round, which is another season. So
where's that? Let's say you're at that space where, you know what? I'm going to try to do a new moon ritual today because I feel like I do need it right now. And when you do it, it feels good.
Absolutely.
You feel fully present for that ritual. The intentions you want to set are clear. You get to put your heart into it. Like, it makes sense. And whatever it is that you're manifesting, like, you get to manifest something that you need and actually something that you know you'll be ready for. So there's that. Okay.
Yeah. And when you do that, when you do it according to your time, it becomes much more enjoyable and you have so much more fun. And as we both know, doing something with the energy of joy makes everything easy. And like this, it's no exaggeration. The ease of doing something that makes you happy, there's nothing you can compare to it. Like, I'm sure even if people are not doing what we do and they're not as into spirituality as we are, everyone has those moments where everything is clicking, everything is moving easy, and that's because they're having fun. That's why children have such an easy life, because they have fun. As adults, we have a hard time because we forget what fun is. Because in certain societies, having fun is seen as childish and it's seen as bad. But why not if it makes your life easy?
Yeah. And also more bearable.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's that. You know, it's really rediscovering a lot about yourself so that you can navigate through the collective and through the individual facet of life. So anything else that you would like to add to this conversation?
Well, we can talk about the collective timing of being in your Saturn return and still respecting your personal timing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That, it hits different because from my experience, I don't know if it's the same for you. I had a challenging time, to say the least, with my Saturn return because I was trying to work through it, through the collective, instead of for me, instead of with my timing.
That's where we're different. You're right. Yeah. That's where we're different. So continue with your story, please.
So, because for me, like, I started my spiritual journey just as I was entering my Saturn returns. It was confusing, to say the least, because, you know, like, Saturn returns coming, so all of the things in your life is being questioned, and then here you are also opening up to spirituality, which is again more questions. And it gets way too much. I honestly don't know how I survived my Saturn return, because I was just a ball of confusion. And I just, like, I think at one point I just went with it because it was the easiest thing to do. But during that time, I didn't have a sense of personal timing. I just let it be. I think it was intuitive timing. Like, I chose intuitively my personal timing. And the deeper understanding came in a couple years after my Saturn return ended. That's how it went. For me, it's funny though. I can't remember much of what happened.
Oh, I remember mine. No, but mine, like, my approach was different. I was very aware. And this was when I got into spirituality, I actually didn't know what a Saturn return was. I knew nothing. But it just felt like something was going on, you know. And I only found out I was in my Saturn return, like right smack in the middle of it, when Jamie told me. When she asked me, how old are you again? And I said, oh, I'm 28, turning 29. Ah, then you're in your Saturn return. So like, what's that? And then they explained it to me. And I was like, oh, okay. It makes so much sense now. And what I did was really, I did isolate myself. During that time, I was very protective of myself. And I really made sure that, and that was the year that I actually moved to La Union. No, because sure, I knew some people there, but they revolved in a different circle. And, you know, being in a different place is just very, again, it's fresh energy. You know, not everyone knows you the way they know you here in the city. Like, there was this kind of freedom that I had to discover myself, because no one really knew me. And what was challenging about that was because I had isolated myself too much, that when I got back into the collective, I got overwhelmed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now it was like, okay, how do I integrate everything I've learned into this situation? Integrate, not change. Integrate. Mm-hmm. I really like that word. I really like the word integrate. Because sometimes we feel like, oh no, does that mean that everything that I've recognized about myself, it's been wrong all this time? Because the moment I jumped back in, like, people found me strange. The people who used to know me, they don't know me anymore. You know, those things are like, you get those side comments like, oh, Mara changed so much. You know, she's not the same person. You know, like, who would have thought she'd go into this? Oh, that's just a phase. All of these things. I received a fair share of those comments. But because you came from such a place, I came from, why do I keep saying you? But I'm talking to myself in like a different perspective. But because I came from a place that, you know what, this is where I have to, itatagalog ko, kailangan ko na siyang panindigan. I have to carry through, push through with it. That's when the work,
you stand in your truth.
That's where the work actually begins. And that's how I got through the Saturn return, like, of jumping into that collective. And now, regardless of where I am, where I place myself, I am able to track, I am able to become more aware. Like, I know the kind of, like, I know the level of self-reflection I need to do when I'm in a certain place. And it varies from, you know, it varies with each place. So, yeah, it's that. And then, I know, it's just very interesting, like, looking back. Looking back. And it shows how different people are. Because I dealt with my Saturn return this way. You dealt with it, like, the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But I do relate a lot to the feeling of isolation, because during my Saturn return, obviously part of the theme, the biggest theme is being questioned, everything that you decided or you knew. So that comes with asking yourself, are these really the people I want in my life longer? And of course, that question I didn't realize was part of the Saturn return, but it is. And I moved away from the groups of people that I used to be with. We weren't super close, but you know, you have your casual friends and hobbies.
Yeah.
So I moved away from them. And then the people that I was closest to before my Saturn return, I moved away from because it no longer felt right. But I had no words, even to myself, to understand why. And it became lonely. It honestly became lonely because it was also hard to connect to people because you're changing. You could connect to a group of people yesterday and then the next day, it doesn't resonate anymore. It doesn't connect. So it does get lonely at a certain point. And then at the end of it, not at the end, like after you've integrated a lot, you realize how worth it everything is.
Mm.
And I think it's important to know when that's happening so that you can respect how that affects your season and how much a Saturn return can shift your seasons constantly. You know, like, I'm not saying everyone should know their Saturn return because some people work better not knowing.
Yeah.
Some people work better knowing, or like you have both.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know, it's just amazing that we were talking about this before, that in your early to late 20s, before and during your Saturn return, you don't realize just how much you're learning so that you can use it.
Yes. Yes. And you mentioned this before we went live, right? That the skills you learned before you hit your Saturn return are the skills you're using now. You know, nothing is put to waste. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like how each season, how each phase, like moon phase, whatsoever, there's always something that we can bring.
Yes.
Right? Like, I haven't been working in production for years, but here I am with a podcast. Here I am creating my own content, conceptualizing, practically running, like producing my own things. Right? So, and the same with you. Like, you used to work at a hospital.
Yeah, for billing and cashier. And funny enough, those mathematics skills are still useful. I graduated in business, and who knew that I'd use it for a business of my own.
Yeah. You know?
So it's like, I can compare it to, like, you know how when you plant things in a farm, you can't plant the same type of crop because it will kill the land. So you have to alter it.
Yes.
And I think that's what we're doing in our life, like in our childhood, that's a different crop. And then in our 20s, there's a different crop. In our 30s, it's a different crop. But sometimes it's funny how what you planted in your, like, childhood is what you're going to plant in your 30s. That timing.
Yeah. I mean, look at trends.
Mm-hmm.
Like how you dressed up in the 90s. Like back then, you'd like you'd think back then, oh, I did dress up so well. And then now it's like you will see the kids wearing the exact same things you used to wear. You used to shame yourself for.
Yeah. But that was the
thing. But like, and they're having fun with it. So I'm like, oh, hey. So now I can actually wear 90s clothing and not be ashamed of it. The same with relationships also. You know, there are people who come and go. There are people from your past that you may not have had a really strong connection with. And then us. Yeah. And then years later, with the universe's orchestration, something binds you. And you're able to be present for each other. Like, we are able to be present for each other, you know, when we're going through something. Mm-hmm. Right? And then we don't know how long this will last, right? The reality of it. But when we get older, there's something really good to look back on.
Yes.
Right? Like that season, let's say this season of our lives is memorable because aside from the fact that we reconnected, we got to flesh out a lot of things together. Right? Like really flesh them out.
Yeah, and it wasn't even planned. It was just like, oh yeah, today we will do this all of a sudden.
Yeah, and that came with, yeah, recognizing where we are in the moment, where we are in this bigger picture, this bigger plan. And it becomes easier to trust the self.
Absolutely.
It becomes easier to trust and also be more accepting of what is happening outside.
Just to allow.
Yeah. We can't control how other people change. Even we can't control how we change.
That's so true.
But we can honor. We can accept.
Yes.
And once we respect. Yes. Enjoy and have fun with who we are now. So there, I think we're at the tail end of our conversation because it's already been, I think, over an hour. Yeah, but you know how we talk. Like we could go on for hours and hours, but unfortunately, absolutely, I only have like 60 minutes for this episode, for any kind of episode. But thank you so much, Azaza, for joining me today, for also glamming up today. Although, yeah, I know you didn't glam up for me. I know because you had to do reels earlier, but you know, it's nice seeing you not in yoga clothes.
That's so true.
Right? But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Any last words before we say goodbye?
I would also like to say thank you for inviting me. This has been fun, as was the last one. And for my final words is honor yourself. You don't know how much you're doing for yourself. You don't know just how powerful and amazing you are. Even if you don't know that, love and accept yourself where you are, it will go a long way. And the journey of this is a lifetime journey. Never rush. Just have fun. No matter what's happening, find those pockets of joy in your life and it will ease whatever you're going
through. Aw, thank you. My dog agrees. Hold on, Sadie. But anyways, you know, again, thank you for those words. I hope that to the people listening, you guys were able to pick up something from our conversation today. We also have other conversations, previous episodes that you can listen to. So if you haven't followed us, you haven't subscribed, please do so. This episode will come out on a Thursday, I think. Yeah. So new episodes come out every Thursday. You can follow Azaza. Where can we follow you? Where can we find you?
I am on Instagram. I'm mostly on Instagram. It's _ Brianna Lay. And I'm also on Twitter. It's all linked on my Instagram profile. So you can find all my links there. So that's the quickest way to find
me. Yeah. And as for me, you can follow me over at Movement and Myriads. And of course, follow Sage Conversations Podcast over at Instagram. Again, please click like, follow, subscribe, whatever kind of option is there on whatever platform that you are using. You know, feel free to send us messages if you have questions, reflections, whatsoever. I will see you all in the next episode. So thank you again and have a nice day, everyone. May you be well, may you be healthy, may you be safe, and may you always feel love. Thanks, guys. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to Sage Conversations. If you found value in our content, share your thoughts with us on Instagram and Facebook and tag us at Sage Conversations Podcast. Please subscribe and share this podcast with people you know and love. Every bit will help us grow our circle. Once again, thank you so much. May you be well and may you feel loved. Until the next episode.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.